Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the De'Longhi 2017 first quarter consolidated results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabio De'Longhi, CEO of De'Longhi. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the De'Longhi Group quarter one 2017 results conference call. As usual, we will begin with a brief comment before opening the floor to a Q&A session. 2017 is beginning on a positive note, showing tangible signs of our increased focus on accelerating revenue growth. While our reference markets still have areas of uncertainty and depressed consumption sentiment, global consumers show a clear preference for premium products and look for a better experience in food and beverage preparation at home. Our brand portfolio is uniquely positioned to drive and benefit from such trends, and consumers are responding accordingly well. Group revenues were up 8.4% or +4% in organic terms and at constant perimeter, underpinned by the main markets in Europe, Asia Pacific, and North America. The Middle East continued to be unfavorable, with a revenue decline concentrating in Saudi Arabia, without which our turnover in the region would be up by 9% in organic terms. For the remainder of the year, we expect the Middle East to progressively improve. The Russian market, one of the weak spots of 2016, has also shown a promising start, supported by some price repositioning in the market following the ruble revaluation. As for products, the whole coffee category was up very healthy by 15%, with strong client demand for all coffee technologies and regions. In food preparation, the Braun range continued its positive development, especially in North America and Asia. Faster volume growth translated into operating leverage and improvement in industrial margin. On the cost side, during the quarter, we pushed more on advertising and promotional investments, part of our plan to support brands and products in the future, increased our commitment in R&D, and incurred slightly higher expenditure for long-term compensation. Despite these three items, an extra 3 million euro, the group's EBITDA was stable against last year. Although not representative for the full year trend due to its relatively small size, the first quarter reinforces our confidence in achieving the 2017 targets, mid-single digit organic revenue growth, and an increase in EBITDA. I also gladly take this opportunity to share our enthusiasm for the recently announced partnership with Eversys. Our entry into the professional coffee machine market occurred after the end of the first quarter, with closing expected by mid-July. This sector is very attractive, both from a growth and profitability standpoint, and it fits perfectly with our heritage and coffee know-how. We've seen in Eversys the best technology for professional, fully automatic coffee makers in the market. Our same passion for creating premium products, an extremely skilled and experienced management team. We are all very excited about this partnership and cannot wait to begin working together and help the global development of the business. However, Eversys cannot be considered a transformational deal for the group, which continues to actively seek further M&A opportunities. With this in mind, I would like to briefly review the quarterly results in more detail. Revenues were about 390 million euro, up 8.4% in nominal terms, including a positive impact both from foreign exchange rates and the scope of consolidation. Organic and constant perimeter revenues were up 4%, an acceleration over the plus 2% of the previous quarter. By geography, the Asia, Pacific and Americas region was up in the two digits on the back of stronger growth in North America and Greater China. In these markets, coffee makers and brown were the main drivers. Europe was overall strong, up at mid-single-digit rates, led by the most important markets, both in Western and Eastern subregions, Germany in particular. Revenues in the Middle East, India and Africa region were down, mostly linked to destocking activity in Saudi Arabia, which should support a better trend in the coming quarters. It is worth noting that excluding such market, revenues in the region were up by 9% in organic terms during the quarter. Regarding product families, we are pleased about the sustained and across-the-board growth of coffee makers, up 15%. Fully automatic models were up strongly, and so were manual and drip machines. Revenues in the single-serve systems were up overall, helped by the new contract awards in North America and Switzerland, and by growth of Dolce Gusto, which more than offset a reduction in the Latissima range. In food preparation, the Kenwood brand was down, still affected by the weakness in some of its core markets, while Brown developed positively, especially with hand blenders, up in the double digits. Lastly, revenues in comfort products were up, led by portable air conditioners. Let's focus now on development of our margins, sustained by volume growth and operating leverage, which allowed us to reach more than 190 million euro in net industrial margin. On the other hand, supply chain costs increased due to higher sales volumes and increasing transportation rates, and we executed our plan to increase investments in advertising and promotion. Moreover, price mix was negative in the quarter because of the difficult comparison base, since in quarter one 2016, price mix was up by more than 14 million euro, and other factors, including kitchen machine contraction, price realignment in the Russian market following depreciation of the ruble, volume recovery in comfort and single-serve coffee, and the dilutive effect of the consolidation of NPA. Despite the above headwinds, EBITDA was stable year-on-year, at about 51.4 million euros. EBIT stood at 38.5 million euro, or 9.8% of revenues, and lower financial expenses led to a slight increase in net income at 25.1 million euros in the quarter, or 6.4% of sales. Moving on the main balance sheet figures, the net cash position stood at nearly 322 million euro, improving by more than 14 million euro since 2016 year end, and by more than 130 million euro over the last 12 months. Net working capital in absolute value was only slightly up against quarter one 2016 at 250.5 million euro, and stands at a healthy 13.4% of revenues, which would be only 12.7% at constant perimeter of consolidation. To conclude, a few words on 2017 guidance, which benefits from a positive beginning of the year. Following 2016, when the group's focus was clearly on protecting margins, we have now shifted gear in terms of top-line growth. We are willing to devote the right resources to such growth in terms of new products, more research and development, and a push on advertising and promotion investments. We expect growth to pick up in the second half. Clients are already responding well to this strategic shift, and although not fully representative of the full year, organic sales growth is going in the right direction. We have already seen a pickup in growth in several important markets, and coffee makers and Brown are stronger than ever. We therefore reiterate our commitment to accelerating organic top-line growth and expect to reach the mid-single-digit range this year. Regarding profitability, we confirm the target to improve EBITDA in absolute terms, not necessarily as a percentage of sales, in a context of expected neutrality of foreign exchange rates. This concludes my introduction, and now we can open the floor to questions. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Nicolò Pessina with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Just a couple of clarifications. First of all, on the contribution of NPE on the top line, is it correct that it was 2.3% of the growth rate that you reported in the quarter? Second, if I remember well, during the last call for the full year 16 results, you mentioned a slow start of the year, referring to the first couple of months of 17, at least in several markets. So is it correct to assume an increase of organic growth in the remaining quarters of 2017? And last point, maybe if you can make any comment on the month of April. Many thanks.
Sorry, we couldn't hear you very well on the question, on the second question. Could you repeat it, please? Can you say it again, please?
Yeah, sure. The second question was about the organic growth. If I remember well from the conference call in March, you mentioned at that time a slow start of the year, at least for the first 2 months of the year. So I'm wondering if my remembering is correct, and if therefore we should expect a higher organic growth in the remaining quarters of 2017 in order to achieve your full year target.
Okay, no. Okay, thank you. So first question was about NPE and the contribution of NPE in the first quarter 2017 was 8 million euro.
Okay.
Okay, the second question about organic growth, we expect to have probably a similar trend in quarter two, and we expect a pickup, progressive pickup in quarter three and four. In terms of current trading, it's frankly we have now expectations, current trading expectation for, as I said before, for a quarter, a growth trend in line with quarter one.
Okay, many thanks.
The next question is from Nicola Langley with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. I've got three questions. The first one is on the cooking and food preparation division. Can you tell us by how much sales declined in Q1 17? And if we look at the coming quarters, given the market condition, the higher A&P spending, and the new product launches, do you think it's reasonable to expect a return in positive like-for-like territory in the coming quarters and potentially a slight growth for the full year 2017? The second question is on Braun in the U.S. Do you have any sellout data to share with us regarding the performance on the sellout? And also, can you tell us in how many stores the Braun products are distributed today in the U.S. and what's the potential for the coming quarters or years? And the last one is on the price impact on sales in Q1 17. Can you tell us what was the impact, because some of your competitors had a negative price impact in Q1, and what's the outlook for the full year? Thank you.
So the first question was about cooking food preparation and expectation for the year end. So we believe that cooking food preparation is is an area of focus for De'Longhi as a group, as the market leader in many product lines and geographies with our products and brands, our continued investment, actually reinforced investment, will probably translate in a market improvement versus the current situation. So we expect to be able to progressively neutralize the negative growth in the market, which now we are experiencing a decline in the first quarter of around 5.8% in total food preparation. We hope that on the back on the improvements of Saudi Arabia, and also we have we're very, very, very confident about the turnaround in Russia. Now we really have good visibility of orders, incoming orders for the Russian market. We expect definitely to be able to neutralize the decline, and hopefully, as Mr. Langlais is suggesting or maybe hoping, to even compensate if we are say successful, as we really hope, in revitalizing this sector, which now is weak, but we believe can continue to be a long term growth engine for the group. I also would like to know that besides our say insisted and reinforced investment in advertising and promotions, we are launching new products. Last year we have introduced a new hand blender range from Braun, very successful, which we will continue to expand it says in 2017. We are expanding distribution of the new Kenwood Cooking Chef Gourmet. We are launching also a connected version of K-Cook Multi. So we think we have plenty of innovation and initiatives which make us optimistic and confident about improving a weak but improved market condition in food preparation. If I'm not mistaken, the second question was growth in North America. Growth in North America is coming from multiple, say, products and multiple initiatives. First one definitely is Braun. We're very happy about the Braun launch, and we continue to perform well, particularly in coffee and hand blenders. The second driver of growth has been the launch of Nespresso. So we are now partners of Nespresso also in North America, and we started the partnership and started supplying to the market the Nespresso deep range and also the virtual line. So we're happy about this development. Plus, on top of it, we had a positive beginning of the year in comfort on the back of the good deliveries in portable air conditioning mainly. So I think that this is a sign of a solid group performance in North America, not relying on a single product family, but relying on different legs. Also, the third question was about the Braun development in terms of distribution, and I confirm that we continue our expansion. Today, we are touching approximately 3,000 doors, more than 3,000 doors, and we will continue to increase our distribution. Hopefully, we'll be able to reach say in the next month or also in the near future, close to 5,000 stores. The last question was about the negative impact on price on the margins. Mainly, it was Russia, which accounts for about 50% of the negative impact. And Russia was really a repositioning. We have basically reduced the prices, which went probably too high due to the ruble revaluation, and we actually have realigned to most of the competitors, which had already repositioned their products already in the quarter for 2016. And it accounts, the price effect accounts totally for about 6 million euros total. In Russia, more than 50%.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Domenico Ghilotti with Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. A few questions, in particular, if you can elaborate a little bit more on some previous topics that you have already touched. In particular, if you can drive us on the decline in this industrial margin as a percentage of sales. You were mentioning perimeter impact, the mix, but I miss the other. So the price realignment in Russia, but I miss and the other drivers. So if you can elaborate on this. The second question, I'm trying to understand if I got properly, the you were mentioning at the beginning that the total impact of advertising and promotion, R&D, and long-term compensation was around 3 million. Is it correct? So it's total? And last question is on the tax rate. I'm trying to understand if the decline that we have seen is something structural related, for example, to Italy or to something that is structural, and if we can project this reduction also for the full year.
Yeah, okay, yes. So very, very quickly, I mean, we lost about 2 points of margin, of gross margin. Although rather small, NP, due to the different model, is impacting a lot. Is 1 point is coming from NP because of the different type of industry. Another 0.5 is coming from Russia, which again to us was a necessary repositioning as the ruble really revaluated very strongly with a 15% revaluation, which helped to cut a bit the cost, which they say the prices, which went probably very high over the last months. Also, we had another, let's say, very close to 0.5 was due to mix, and the mix was because of, let's say, more Nespresso versus kitchen machine, for instance, and then also we had a slightly there was some impact to transport due to transportation costs, which were quite high, and we expect to this cost to continue to be high compared to last year. Second question was about impact on the EBITDA for advertising. The advertising media and promotional costs were around 2 million. The 3 million impact was including also increased R&D costs and the compensation, the new compensation policy. Mm-hmm. And then the third question about the tax rate, we expect the tax rate to be lower in 2017 thanks to a reduction of the tax rate in Italy, and we now target to a probably 25% target tax rate for the year.
Okay, if I may follow up on the coffee performance, on the very strong 15%, there is any particular, say, temporary impact due to, for example, the selling for the new agreement with Nespresso that maybe are more skewed in the first part of the year, or is something that has not been affected by any particular say.
No, you're right. We are affected by Nespresso, but what I like is that we're growing in all the segments, and we're growing in all the geographies. I think this is a very solid number. Frankly, very seldom you see a product line growing so consistently across all the markets. I would say that on the top 25 markets for the group, maybe you have only one or two contraction, which I think is a sign that is a category growing very solidly across all the geographies.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Anna Patris with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Thank you for all information already provided. A couple of questions from my side. Just a quick technical questions on the tax rate going forward. You indicated 25% for this year. Is this kind of one-off and it should increase going forward, or what are your expectations for the sustainable tax rate? On Braun, I understood that you're quite happy on the current development in the U.S. Could you maybe also provide some details on how Braun is doing in the markets where you launched it, like in the U.K., in France, etc., and what's the potential from those markets, and what is the potential in the mid-long term from Braun in the U.S.? And also maybe to talk a bit more on the development of Braun in the mid-long term. I know that you are insourcing quite a lot of production right now already. What is the impact on Braun profitability? My understanding is that the launch in the U.S. and their support from NP should be short-term dilutive, but where do you see Braun in the long and mid-term in terms of the contribution to the earnings, in terms of the margin, should it be on the group average, below group average, and in terms of the size of the brand, how big that could be? And do you see any possible new expansion in the new categories? Maybe also talking about the new categories, I know that you launched into the, or you tried to expand into the iron segment, so how does this going on? Another question was on Kenwood and food preparation appliances. I missed a little bit when you were talking about the food preparation segment, and you said that you're confident in turnaround in Russia and that you think to neutralize decline. Was it about Kenwood, or it was more about the food preparation segment? So, and how do you expect the Kenwood to perform, and what is the main issues, what are the main challenges that you face now? I know that you're trying to expand it in the kind of, you know, with the new product launches, but does it mean that the product mix will be slightly negative for the margins at Kenwood, or what should we expect? And with your guidance of roughly 5% organic growth, do you include here the turnaround of Kenwood, or you're kind of more cautious on Kenwood with this guidance? And does this guidance include the NPE, or that's without this consolidation impact? Thank you.
Thank you. The first one is a simpler one. It's about tax rate. We have now a target for the year of 25% tax rate, and this should continue in the next, say, years. Second question was about the performance in the USA. Braun performance in the USA. I said we were very pleased about the success of the Braun launch in North America, and we expect to continue to deliver growth in the North America. Braun is one of the engines of our growth, and we expect to deliver on budget and on expectations on Braun. We have some successes also in other markets, probably a little bit less in let's say UK, maybe also to some difficult market circumstances, and probably also in France, where maybe also we have a strong competition, local strong competition. But then we have some good results in other markets. I would say very pleased about the performance of Braun, for instance, in Spain, in Portugal, Italy, is doing very well. Germany is in Austria, we're positive. In Eastern Europe, we're doing very well. To give a flair, also in Ukraine, for instance, we are number one in RNA system now, which is a very strong performance. It's a small market, but is a good sign of the potential of Braun in Eastern Europe. Middle East, I think we have very healthy market share. And unfortunately, our, let's say, high stock levels don't allow us to show our real underlying performance of growth performance of Braun in the market across the categories. And in Russia, we have achieved a very good market shares in ironing and also hand blenders, and we hope now with the new agreements and new price positioning, we will be able to exploit a good performance. So I'm quite happy, besides the United States, also in many other geographies. Also, China, we had a good performance in the year end, and we continue to succeed and win new customers, particularly in the web. We had very good performance with Braun, with Alibaba, and the big promotional sales on the web in China. Going back to profitability, yeah, we expect thanks to the volume effect and also some positive effect due to a better mix, notably the new hand blenders in the high end or the new ironing systems, the new 7 series or the new irons, the new 7 series iron. We expect also profitability of Braun to progressively improve, both at gross margin level and EBITDA level, probably even more, thanks to a better, stronger operational leverage covering the fixed cost that we have in the business. You touched also on expansion of irons, which is also I've already touched a bit during my reply on your question on Braun. I think that the potential of ironing is very high, particularly in Eastern Europe, Russia, Middle East, and some geographies where the group is very strong, like, for instance, Italy, or geographies where we're already achieving good early successes, like in Spain. With regard to food preparation, the question is quite complex. When I speak about food preparation, I also speak about Braun. Most of the food preparation sales for the group are Kenwood. So when I speak about the weakness of food preparation, obviously I speak about weakness of Kenwood and the other way around. What we think is that we had a phenomenal success in kitchen machine over the past years. I think today, momentarily, the consumers are shifting products to some new products, maybe blending, and is probably more exciting or juicing than kitchen machines today. But we feel very strong about the growth opportunity given by kitchen machines in the long term. So that's why we continue to reinvest. Actually, we're seeing in certain geographies already signs of the turnaround, for instance, in Australia and New Zealand. And now also we expect, due to some, more marketing investment and also some new ways of promoting and communicating the product, we expect also pick up in the UK despite the difficult economic climate. The last question, was another question, maybe I missed another question, probably on, no. Did I miss any question?
Well, what about the possible? What are your possible next steps in the vision of Braun? You know that if there are any new categories that you would like to enter, what is the potential in terms of the sales that you see in overall for the brand?
The new launch for Braun will be in air purifiers, which are products that will have been designed particularly for Asia and particularly for China.
We think that, which one?
Air purifiers.
Okay, yeah.
We see in Asia a greater attention to pollution. We think we have designed a new line of air purifiers, and we think this is a product that has a very high potential in Asia, particularly in China.
Sorry, and just to follow up on the on your guidance, do you include the acquisition of NPE in your organic growth expectations?
No, NPE is not included in organic. So when we talk about organic growth, is excluded NPE.
Okay, and what are the expectation of turnaround of food preparation that's included in your expectations of mid-single digit organic growth?
Is included some turnaround in a further improvement over the next quarters of food preparation, particularly from Kenwood.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Anna Patrice with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yes, and one more follow-up from my side on the gross margin. You explained the impact on the gross margin dilution. You also had a very high comparison basis. As this high comparison basis eases as the year progresses, should we expect normalizing of gross margin? And do you expect that the impact from Russia, from realignment of prices, will still weigh on the throughout the year? Or do you expect some improvements here? And the same question also on the product mix. My understanding is that from what you are saying is that as the year progresses, we should see actually more beneficial product mix with more initiatives on the high-end products, so that actually as the year progresses, the gross margin should benefit from the product mix. Is that correct or not?
Yeah, you're right. MP is negative and will continue to impact negatively, and has been 1% in the first quarter, will probably be diluted, for instance, in the last quarter when the group sales are far higher than the first quarter. Russia, I think that, yes, will continue to negatively impact on the margin, but I have to say that is almost EBITDA neutral, as basically we are giving back an advantage in exchange rates. So you see it on the gross margin, but should be more or less neutral than at EBITDA level. And then on the rest, I expect an improvement of Kenwood, an improvement in the mix during to, let's say, the marketing initiatives we are putting in place will probably help to reduce the gap in that we have in the first quarter. But probably Russia and NPA will continue to wait on the gross margin.
Thank you.
The next question is from Filippo Prini with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I've got two questions. The first, could you give us an update on your expected level of CapEx, total CapEx for this year? And the second is your on acquisition of minority stake in Eversys. Could you tell us if you're going to include in the financial position at the end of the year or basically after the closing of the deal, even of the put call option on the remaining 60%? Thank you.
Okay, so about CapEx, the CapEx for the year, 100 million, which is far higher than last year due to the new investments for the new headquarter in Treviso mainly, and also the R&D center in Treviso, and some increase in of production capacity in Romania. The second question is about Eversys. We don't have any comment on this for the moment, and we will probably provide this after the closing. After the closing, yes.
Okay, thank you. If we may follow up on the first question on CapEx, after this year, the peak of 100 million, do you expect a sort of back to a sort of steady state or recurrent level of investment?
We can have some tail in 2018. Probably we have maybe around, say, 70 million in 2018, and then we'll go back to normal in 2019.
Thanks a lot.
The next question is a follow-up from Domenico Ghilotti with Equita. Please go ahead.
I have a follow-up on the Eversys acquisition. In particular, I'm trying to understand, because it's just the entry into a very attractive new market, I'm trying to understand if you see Eversys as a platform to be expanded organically, or if you see as an initial footprint where you can build up scale with additional M&A. So are you looking, what kind of strategy are you pursuing to improve your position in professional coffee makers?
Definitely both. We bought Eversys because we think Eversys is a great technology in making espresso. We think that we really can grow Eversys and very quickly in the next years, and also is a very attractive industry from, let's say, margin standpoint in the long term. Again, yes, it's a small acquisition, and definitely we believe we could potentially add on more M&A, but this anyhow is not ruling out at all bigger acquisition in households.
Mm-hmm.
So probably I would say that still the focus for the group is to grow its position in households, but then this is a very attractive area, and we definitely will continue to grow it organically, but also throughout acquisitions, if possible.
Do you think you have made any say, advancement in looking and finding opportunities in households in the last few months?
Well, until the deal is done, I don't want to comment on that. I mean, no, we have no announcement to be made.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. DeLonghi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So as there are no more questions, I thank you all for attending the De'Longhi first quarter 2017 conference call.